Welcome to Eurofins ViraCore Clinical Diagnostics Podcast, where I'll be sharing up-to-date scientific advances, key diagnostic testing, and our most recent innovations. Last year at ATC 2022, we launched Transplant Radio. We exhibited as our Eurofins Transplant Diagnostics group, which is comprised of Eurofins ViraCore, Eurofins Transplant Genomics, Eurofins Donor and Product Testing, and Eurofins CellTX. We hosted a live Twitter space, broadcasting directly from our booth on the showroom floor. We're looking forward to ATC 2023 this year in San Diego. We'll be in booth 1229. Visit eurofinstransplant.com/events for more information. We'd love to speak with you in San Diego this year at ATC. Stop by and tell your story on Transplant Radio.
We are joined by Rob Harrell and Michelle Aldrich of ViraCore, Eurofins ViraCore. And they're going to have a great conversation, so I'm going to pass it off to them. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Thanks a lot, Jason. My name is Michelle Aldrich. I am the president of Eurofins ViraCore, a position I've held for just over 2 years. But I'm happy to report that I've been with the company for just over 16, joining it as an entry-level R&D scientist way back in 2006. And grown over the years to become president, which has really been the pinnacle of my career so far. Rob, over to you.
Grown over the years, indeed. My name is Rob Harrell. I'm the vice president of sales and marketing, sometimes the keeper of all madness and mayhem for the organization. It's a privilege for me to actually come back. And not a lot of people get to come back to a team that they love. Michelle has offered me that chance, and it's my privilege today then to not only be happy to be returned to the organization, but to interview Michelle and talk with her about what she loves about the company and what she particularly loves about the future of transplant medicine and what it is that we do to enhance that. And so the first question I would have asked Michelle was how long you've been in the organization, and that's, for me, one of the things that makes ViraCore great. When I think about Eurofins ViraCore, I think about the fact that large portions of the team have been there forever, and all things being relative, and that doesn't happen in many organizations. So from your perspective, what makes Eurofins ViraCore so special that people want to stay and folks like me want to return?
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob. I think it really is our commitment to the patient. We really understand that we serve critically ill patients, a good portion of them being solid organ transplant patients, which is why we're here in Boston. But we, for example, we celebrated an associate that a couple of months ago. She worked in multiple departments, but it really is that drive for the patient and understanding that the patients need the critical testing that we provide to have the best outcomes possible.
So you were at the organization before it was a part of Eurofins. How has being a part of the bigger organization been of great benefit to those patients in the end?
Absolutely. Well, I think as Jason mentioned, we're now part of a larger group focused on transplant, and it really has given us the opportunity to support those patients all the way from when they go on the wait list to the organ procurement testing that DPT does, and then in post-transplant testing, the combination of the wonderful testing that ViraCore provides along with transplant genomics. It really affords that patient the best outcomes.
Look at the signage here that we have at our booth. It says a step ahead every step of the way. And for me, one of the things about coming back to this organization was the fact that, yes, there's patients at the end of this, mom, dad, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, friend, who are all waiting, right? And speed is definitely of the essence. Technology enables that. So what are we doing as an organization to make sure that we do stay one step ahead in terms of innovation and technology? What are you most excited about that we're developing at ViraCore and throughout all of Eurofins for the patient?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the great unique things coming down the pipe is a renewed focus on fungal diagnostics. Critically ill transplant patients, because of their immunosuppression, they're of course susceptible to many types of infections and pathogens from viruses to bacteria to the fungi. all are developing resistance to the new drugs that continue to come out. And so that just requires advanced diagnostics. And so looking at more fungal resistance testing, more genetic testing for fungal resistance, which is just can be performed much faster than culture testing, to again make sure that the patient is getting the best treatment and the right treatment in the fastest time possible.
So another one of the things for that too, and it is exciting in the ways that we would certainly test for those things. The fungus among us and may be the biggest concern of the future. And so we say on our other sign up here up front that next generation transplant. How does next generation sequencing begin to figure into that? Is that something that we're looking at as an organization? Is it something that's important to the majority of folks, patients, again, that are waiting? Do we see that playing a bigger part in the future of transplant testing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think next generation sequencing is going to be permeating diagnostics in many ways. It does allow us to do more broad-based testing for diagnostics, to do more pan-fungal screening versus targeted testing, which is what you generally get with real-time PCR, but also in the HLA space. You know, there's kind of interest here in additional discussions on eplet matching to reduce the chances of development of DSA, and that can be facilitated a lot with doing high-resolution HLA typing, which is facilitated with next-gen sequencing as well. So I think as we look to the future, next-generation sequencing will become more widely used in many areas of diagnostics.
So we're at ATC. We should probably talk a little bit about it. I don't know about you, but this is the first show that I've been at since December of 2020, which is hard for me to believe, or 2019, which is hard for me to believe. Smaller shows, but nothing of this magnitude. How does it feel to be back?
It's great. It's you're reconnecting with old friends. We kind of got by with the virtual meetings, but just that person-to-person interaction, being able to walk up to somebody, and colleagues, and customers. What are the challenges? How can we help them solve their challenges? It's just so much, there's so much benefit to that person-to-person interaction. Yet, it's really great that ATC has continued to provide a virtual option, because we know that not everybody can get here. You know, COVID hasn't went away completely. And so it's really great that it's now more flexible, and it's an option for wherever you go to either be here in person or to continue to connect virtually.
So what have you been, I'm just going to use the word awed by, right? So you've been here for a few days now. Yeah. You've been to a few talks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And whether it be in the hallways or in some of those talks, what has amazed you? What have you thought, oh yeah, that's the future?
Yeah. So yesterday there was a session on xenotransplantation, and that it was just really exciting. You know, there's multiple institutions over the last 6 months that have really went into the human body in one form or another. And that's just so exciting, because one of the biggest challenges with transplant continues to be that we do not have enough organs. And so xenotransplantation is one potential solution. I mean, there is still a road to travel before, it's where it needs to be, but they've made some great strides over the years.
It is amazing. And it's funny to think about when we think about the first transplants that we made human to human. Mm-hmm. There wasn't even better success then than what we're having with xenotransplant. Pretty amazing. And it may help with something that's a big concern of all the people in this room, I'm certain, and that's the inequity in transplant. What's your FINS doing to help along those lines as well?
Yeah, well, I think one, we're supporting advocacy of both the American Transplant Society and the American Society of Transplant Surgeons, and their push for equity and equity really in all things, and getting seen by transplant physicians, the wait list. But we have your FINS within itself has an equity driving excellence committee as well that we all support. So I think it's just a matter of really looking at how can we ensure, and when they talked about it, it's also just taking a pause and recognizing that we do all have biases in our lives, and just to, as individuals, be more aware of those to try to address them, because it's something that's been going on for a long time, and a lot of times we may be unaware of our biases, because certainly we all have them, and just to take a pause and think about that, to be more aware.
Become increasingly important in our organization, and it's really good to see. It's also really good to see that other people around this, these floors, these halls that we're gathering in, I think about that today. So what are you most excited about seeing next? Is there anything else that you're looking forward to at the show that you haven't been to yet, that you, another conversation that you think that you need to have?
Yeah. Well, so getting into day four, we're kind of on the downward, but just connecting with a few more physicians, you know, ferreting out, you know, understanding a little more about how they're using our innovative assays in their daily practice, so that we can share that information with other physicians. And then just kind of looking forward to even ATC 2023 in San Diego.
For sure. So as you think about the future, you know, 5 years down the road, xenotransplant becomes a thing, I'm sure, continues to increasingly be a part of transplant medicine. How are we going to enable that? Are there new technologies, anything in our innovation pipeline that we're beginning to think about? We also have to be a part of this.
Yeah. Well, at ViroCor, we've, you know, really been focused on infectious disease and immunology. And one of the areas around xenotransplantation that continues to be a concern is the transmission of various animal pathogens. Just making sure that as those things come up, that we have assays ready to go for whatever needs might arise. And then on the, you know, immunology side, understanding one of the things they really need to zero in on for xenotransplantation is what that optimal immunosuppression regime is going to be. And we do a lot of therapeutic drug monitoring. So again, making sure that depending on what diagnostic challenges come, that we're ready to meet those challenges head on.
It's been my experience working here that a lot of times we're ahead of what people think that they need, right? And data drives that. And they want, a lot of folks want the data. There's a lot of folks that will adopt and adapt right away because they trust the services that we provide. They know that it makes a difference in their patient's journey, and their most critical patients can rely on the results that we give them. But how are we thinking about the future? Big data is always a part of the conversation.
And so I think one of it is looking, you know, we've been building a team of data scientists on staff to really take the data that we're generating in clinical studies with our innovative assays, combining that with more routine tests and looking at, is there some combinatorial data that really helps physicians make the best decisions for their patients? And so I think it is taking large data sets and just trying to distill them down and make sense of them.
Awesome. Any future of AI? Do you see artificial intelligence becoming a part of what we do and every day?
Yeah. I think more specifically the machine learning part of that is going to be critical. I think it will permeate all areas of our life, kind of beyond diagnostics and transplant.
For sure. And you know, I believe that we're an information company in lots of ways, right? And to be able to take that data that should be meaningful and making it incredibly meaningful and even for greater populations. The holy grail, having front-end patient information, back-end outcomes, and then put that through machine learning that's marshaled, eventually AI. I think it would be incredible for us and in the future. One of the things that first came, I was intrigued by, and I wanted to get your thoughts on as well, is the future of measuring the microbiome. And how does that also become really then of transplant medicine? Is there a future for our company in that regard? Is there a future in this space? And I don't hear much talk about it, but is it something that we should be talking about?
Absolutely. So there was a session, I forget what morning it was at. One of the great things about ATC is that there's a lot of great things going on concurrently. One of the benefits this year, because of the combination of virtual and in person, is we have all those recordings. So there is a great talk on microbiome. I haven't went back and listened to it. But there's a lot of interest in, you know, how the microbiome might inform kind of more of a homeostasis. And absolutely, that would be testing it's I think a matter of understanding what those reportables, what the results are telling the physician to make sure you're giving them the right information. Because with microbiome, is it the concentrations of the various organisms? Is it really the spectrum of the organism? What about the microbiome is going to be critical to understand?
There's a whole other genome inside our genome, right, that is informing it every day. And how, in some way, if we can bring that intelligently to bear in transplant medicine, I think it would be incredibly advantageous too. So I'm going to switch it up on you a little bit, because I'm sure at least I would even like to get to know more about you. Favorite book that you've ever read? Most impactful book that you've ever read, and why?
Schindler's List. One of the things that really I've always been amazed by is just the various perspectives kind of around the reaction to the Holocaust. So ViroCor is based in Kansas City, and one of the things over the last year that they had at Union Station is a special exhibit on Auschwitz that I cannot pronounce very well. And so that book was just very, very impactful. It has kind of kept with me all of these years.
Did you see the movie?
I did.
As well. Very, very moving movie. Schindler, interesting man, right? He was initially not on that side of the equation. He was a very powerful businessman. He used his power to not take care of the Jewish population, but eventually realized that there was something very wrong with the way that they were being treated, and at least took the time and the chance to save some 900 lives, right? Amazing, amazing story. Very impactful, for sure. When you, again, think about the future, one of the things that we do at this organization is we innovate passionately. We work to save lives, right? And in fact, a part of our mission statement is to improve lives. How do we, if we think about what we're doing, a bit more patient-focused than the other organizations out there that still provide a great service in the marketplace, just not like us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the ability to really pick up the phone and call, you know, when a physician has a patient that's super critical, really life or death, that, you know, they call and, you know, so we're looking out for that sample and making sure that we, you know, get that done even faster than we normally would. And really just being responsive to those needs is, I think, kind of our commitment to our clients and our patients.
Very nice. What are you, so 16 years, right, coming up through the ranks of the organization, what are you most proud of when you think about those 16 years and all the transitions and transformations and change that the organization has gone through?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of through it all, just keeping that commitment to the patient. You know, we look back over the last couple of years, COVID threw a lot of challenges, and our associates continued to rise to the occasion. And really understanding that need, really being able to respond to whatever is thrown at us, and really that resilience that our team has.
I would say that resilience and relentless pursuit, passionately, relentlessly pursuing the best possible result that come for a patient. It was great. While I came back to what was a completely different company because of those things, it was really great to see how the team was responding. Now, hopefully, right, COVID is going away, we'll restore to whatever the new normal happens to be. What does that look like for you when you think about it as the person sitting in the president's chair? What is the new normal for ViroCor?
Well, one of the things that's really exciting is we've just moved into a brand new laboratory space. About 8 weeks. And what that's allowed, you know, we've been continuing to grow. And so back in Lee's Summit, we were in three different lab buildings. We had three different warehouses. And so our staff really just had gotten spread out. And so, you know, with that combined with having to send people home and work remotely, with our new big single building facility, everybody is now together. So you can have those hallway conversations. Sometimes that's when your greatest ideas is when you just bump into somebody in the hall and start chatting with them. And so it's been really exciting to look about that and kind of see that for the future.
Yeah, one team, one theme, and that happens in one building now. for the folks that are listening, we went from what size laboratory to what size laboratory?
I never remember the numbers.
Sorry.
It's just over 100,000 square feet. And, you know, I think we're going to continue to grow. And we've already talked about, we did have the foresight to, we have extra land so we can expand and continue to go right on property without having to go through that big move. And we're already talking about having to expand again and to continue to be ready for future growth. So that's super exciting.
I think in all the lab moves I've seen over the last two decades, by the time you get into the new building, you need so good that you had that foresight. I actually think that we moved into the new building somewhere around your birthday. I sent you a message that said, we gave you a lab for your birthday.
Yeah, it was great.
But we haven't had our grand opening yet, because as with every move, there's still things that need to be done, and we have to get comfortable with the space. Do you want to tell the folks who are listening when our grand open will be?
Yeah.
And if they're in the area, invite them along.
Sure. Well, we're planning to do it on August 11th. We in Lenexa, suburbs of Kansas City, we've had a really wet spring. And so that has delayed some of our outdoor finishing work. And so we, of course, want to have our best look when we have that grand opening. So we're hoping to wrap up everything in the next few weeks to have that in early August.
Yeah. It is an amazing space. One of the great things about any organization is to have a great space that people want to come to. One team, one theme. Let's be in a building that we're excited about coming to. And certainly every time I walk through the doors, I'm incredibly proud. Not that I wasn't in the other building too, for lots of reasons, most of them being the people. For me, the great thing about our organization, yes, we're delivering great results when time matters and results count for patients. And yet, when I look around the building, it's the people that really enable that. And you're one of those people, and I'm so incredibly thankful for that. So incredibly thankful for this time to just sit and chat with you a little bit about what it is that we're doing. If you'd like to leave just one final thought for the audience, what would you like to share with them?
Well, I think it's just that there are so many exciting things going on in transplant that, you know, innovation will continue to drive transplant and Eurofins Transplant Diagnostics is going to be with our patients and our clients every step of the way. And so it's been great seeing everybody and look forward to probably again next year in San Diego.
In San Diego. We'll see you there. So thanks again, Michelle. Thanks, Jason, for giving us this opportunity to chat a little bit. All right. Well, with that, I hear the coffee machine in the background. I don't know if you'd like to go get a cup, but I'd love to share a cup with you. Thanks, Michelle.
All right.
Really great working with you.
Absolutely, Rob. You've been a great addition to the team.
Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media to stay up to date on all the latest information. If you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends and colleagues to subscribe too. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Podbean, and more. With over 30 years of specialized expertise in infectious disease, immunology, and allergy testing for immunocompromised and critical patients, Eurofins ViraCore is committed to helping medical professionals, transplant teams, and reference labs get results faster when it matters most. ViraCore is passionate about delivering value to our clients by providing timely, actionable information, never losing sight of the connection between the testing we perform and the patients you serve.